Hello, this is Pastor Robert from Esterhazy Baptist Church in Esterhazy, Saskatchewan. Thank you for joining us today. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, so this message is for the week of December 3rd, 2023. The series is The Promise of a Savior, and this Sunday the message is The Promise in the Garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The call to worship is from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 and 10. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Today is the beginning of Advent, and Advent covers the four Sundays before Christmas. Advent prepares us for Jesus' coming, his birth, and his return as King, his second coming. This Advent season, we will be looking at the promise of a Savior we find throughout God's Word, the Bible. Genesis, the first book in the Bible, sets the framework for God's interaction with humanity. As the book of Genesis begins, we see that God created the universe. He spoke it into existence, the stars, the planets, the sky, the sea, plants and animals, and it was good. Finally, he created humanity. We see this in Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 26, 27, and then chapter 2, verses 7 and 15 to 18, and verse 22. This will give us an overview. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he'd taken out of the man and brought her to the man. One of the things to notice is that God altered his pattern of creation with humanity. Everything else, we see God spoke it and it was created. He spoke it into existence. But with humanity, he literally got his hands dirty creating us. He formed us from the earth, then breathed his spirit into us. And humanity was not only handmade by God, we were made in his image and put in charge of this world and designed to have a special relationship with God. It is important that we remember that this is our starting point with God. We are created by God for a loving relationship with him, with purpose and with responsibility. God gave us a framework in which to live in this relationship. Things to do: rule over the animals and tend the Garden of Eden. And things we were not to do. In Genesis 2:17, that was to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then came a choice. Believe God and what he's told us or not. We see this in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and was also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We know that the passage goes on to tell us that God calls out to them, and they come forward, and they admit that they'd eaten from the tree of knowledge as God had told them not to. One might think that the Bible would be a really short book, since by this, the third chapter of Genesis, humanity has rejected God as their source of truth. You would think that was the end. Sin, judgment, and death come to Adam and Eve, and the created world is altered, and that sounds like the end of the story. Yet, take note, at this point, the lowest point in human history, our fall from God's grace, we have rejected God as the source of truth. We don't believe him. We think he's withholding. Yet at this point, all is not lost. There is hope spoken by God himself. It's hard to imagine the heartbreak. God, who created us for a relationship, is almost literally slapped in the face. You can imagine you've experienced that kind of rejection and the pain that it feels. But as God speaks judgment on the serpent and Adam and Eve and tells them the consequences of their sin, God in verses 14 and 15 of chapter 3 reveals a future event. "So the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you will be punished. You will be singled out from all the domestic and wild animals of the whole earth to be cursed. You will grovel in the dust as long as you live, crawling along on your belly. And from now on, you and the woman will be enemies, and your offspring and her offspring will be enemies. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.'" Adam and Eve had just rebelled against God. They'd done the only thing that they were told not to do, and they had been warned of the results. And at the very moment, the consequence of their disobedience is being given, God also makes a promise. And this indicates that he already has a plan. All is not lost. God already has a plan. Satan the deceiver of humanity, will one day be defeated by one of Eve's offspring. He will crush your head. The Bible then begins to record God's work of drawing humanity back into relationship and preparing for the coming of the Promised One. All the while, humanity is spiraling deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. God is at work preparing for the coming of the Promised One. This act of grace from our God speaks hope to us. Hope to us right now. Is anyone struggling with the question of whether God could love you as you are? Genesis tells us he created you for a relationship with him. He loves you. But you may respond by thinking, you know, with all I've done, he could never accept or forgive me. The relationship is too shattered to ever be repaired. Yet remember this, our God has been at work from the very moment that we sinned to bring us back into relationship, and he is still at work around us to draw each of us back to himself. There's nothing that you can do that will stop him from reaching out to you, offering you restoration and hope as you turn and return to him, as you repent. Ask him to forgive you, and forgiveness is available. From the very beginning of our rebellion against God, which caused our need of redemption, we see that God is there with a plan. Even before humanity realizes the depth to which it has fallen, God is there with a promise. In God's promise, we're given the news of the incarnation. Jesus was born of a virgin, the seed of a woman. Most of the time in Scripture, we'll read about the seed of a man. The seed of a man, then, is what brings about the pregnancy within a woman. But here, it's the seed of a woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, Virgin Mary. The second, the news of his suffering and death. God says that this seed will have his heel bruised by the serpent, but will crush the serpent's head. There's ultimate defeat there. And that is the third promise we're given, the news of his victory over Satan. He will crush your head. As the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Because God the Father sent his Son Jesus, we can be forgiven our sins and made alive in Christ. Today we celebrate his coming, his birth, and we look forward to his return, his second coming. We celebrate his coming as one of us in flesh and blood. We celebrate his victory in life. And we celebrate his victory over sin and death, which frees us from the power of the devil. Thank you, Lord. We're going to close our Advent service by singing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let me close with a benediction from Revelation chapter 1, verse 5b and 6. to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Goodbye.